So, the last time we spoke about anatta. Not me, not myself. It doesn't belong to me. I hope it doesn't rain, because otherwise you don't hear anything. And then we have to postpone it. The five khandhas. What are the five khandhas? It's the body, it's feeling, it's memory, association, it's thought formations, and then consciousness. These are the things that make these worlds. And they don't belong to us, they are not me, and they are not myself. That's what the Lord Buddha teaches. So whenever in our practice a thought comes up, we tell ourselves there is a thought, it's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me. We don't attach to the thought and say, I think, or I am, or I feel. I think you have to stop. Do you understand? Do you still hear what I'm saying? Yeah. What is now recording? This is recording. We're recording the rain and... But is it clearer now or what? No, not really. Today is a rainy day, so the rainy season today is Magha Putra. What is Magha Putra? It is the birth of the Lord Buddha. Yeah, it is. Yeah, the enlightenment. It's a day of enlightenment, and it is his passing away. Yeah? So we should put, a lot of effort in our practice. Yeah, to get to this enlightenment. Yeah, or at least open the door to the deathless. Yeah, that means Sotapanna. So the Sotapanna we need three. Yeah, we need to eliminate the first three fetters. No? The fetter of doubt, yeah? That there is heaven and hell, that there are beings in heaven and hell, that there is karma and that there are results of karma. Whatever we do, whatever we think, whatever we say, has an effect, has a karma. Yeah? And the intention is that what creates a karma. And it will come back to us. Yeah? If we do it to an animal, it will come back. If I remember correctly, 100 times, if you do it to a person, it comes back 1,000 times. I don't really remember, maybe it's not. And if you do it to another hand, it comes back indefinitely. So whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, comes back to us. So, you hear a little bit? But now it's over. We can feel the rain. So let's stop, yeah? Let's see if we can do it, tomorrow evening, yeah?
So we have to hurry a little bit before the next rain is coming. Ah, so, what was it? Where did we start with? Anicca, anatta, dukkha. The three universal characteristics of everything that is exists in this three world systems. Anicca, impermanence. Whatever, it arises and ceases. no matter what, no? Be it the rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhan, vinyan. It's a body, feeling, bodily feeling, mind feeling, memory association, thought formations, and consciousness. Arise and cease, constantly arise and cease. Just like the clouds come and go, clouds come and go. The second principle is anatta. Whatever arises and ceases, whatever we can observe, cannot be us. It's not me. What did the Lord Buddha say? It's not me, it's not myself, it doesn't belong to me. We know it in our language, there's subject and object. Yeah? We can observe, yeah? We can observe a person, a he or a she, yeah? Or an it, or we can observe things. But the observed object and the observer are not one and the same thing. It is a very important principle. Yeah? I mean, we have to completely make that clear within our heart. So whenever something arises, so the body arises, yeah? Or the body is born and it dies. Yeah? But then what comes the next thing? Feeling. Feeling arises and feeling ceases. Who knows that there is a feeling? It's a citta. Yeah. The one who knows. Yeah. And when we look, yeah, when we look in Pali at the five khandhas, the five groups that makes us, yeah, it is rupa, vedana, sanya, sankham, and vinyana. Citta is not within the khandhas. Yeah. So citta is the one who knows, who observes the arising and ceasing of all these phenomena. It is really of utmost importance that we realize it. Yeah? I mean, a feeling arises and ceases. A feeling is not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. Yeah? A thought arises, it's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. Yeah? It comes and it goes. Yeah? It comes and it goes. Memory, association, the same thing. What is association? We see something and we associate it. This is a tree, this is a person, this person is a woman, it's young or old, it's a man, it's young or old, yeah? These are association, yeah? And we trained our memory since we were born. So these are the association, yeah? Thought formation, yeah? It arises and ceases, yeah? And consciousness also arises and ceases. This we normally don't catch, yeah? Because it's too far. So this principle of anatta, it is really important to apply it every day in our practice. Otherwise, yeah, so what is the third principle? Dukkha. The third universal characteristic is dukkha. Because we attach, yeah, we are attached to these things that we see, or perceive, or you know what that we experience. We attach them, as me, as mine and myself, and that's why we have dukkha. Yeah? Because the things that we want, you know, disappear. The things that we don't want appear. Yeah, that is why we have dukkha. In the second noble truth, yeah? The cause of dukkha tanha, our desire. Desire to want to be somebody, desire not to be one, to want to be somebody, all these things. Desire to have this or desire to have that, or desire to meet this person or not to meet this person, you know, I mean, it's all desire that creates us to come. Yeah? So once we know, once we understand, I mean, that these five khandhas, yeah, are anicca, anatta, and dukkha, yeah? Then we can work with it in our daily practice. What are we trying to do? We try to get the mind calm. We want to get the mind calm so there are no more thought formations and no more memories coming up that disturbs, so that we can clearly experience the citta. That's what we want to do. We want to really go into the citta without anybody telling us, yeah? That is memory association. Anybody telling us what is happening? There's just a pure experience. We still might, you know, feelings coming up, bodily feelings coming up. But that is, you know, sensation of the air moving, you know, the air touching our body, this is still, you know, there still might be sounds coming into the ears, you know, or smells coming into the nose. Eh? We are aware of it, but we don't put a label on it. Yeah. So, we are in samadhi. Yeah? And when we are in samadhi, yeah, there is no future and there is no past. We are just in the present moment. And that is our training, the first thing, yeah, our first training. Samadhi, yeah, making the mind completely calm so that there is nothing, nothing disturbing the mind. There is just the pure experience of the things as they are. And this is important for our practice, yeah? Because this is also a point, you know, where we can rest ourselves. Yeah? And then, yeah, when we come out of samadhi, yeah, and if we've been staying there for a while, we see the things arising and ceasing. Yeah? We see thought formation coming, yeah, and disappearing. Yeah? We see feelings coming and disappearing. Or we might even understand, you know, how a feeling creates a thought or creates a memory, you know, how an emotion is created, yeah, through a feeling, yeah, then a memory that has a similar feeling that attaches to the feeling, yeah, increases the feeling, then a thought comes, and then another memory comes, you know, and the feeling slowly, slowly increases like an avalanche, yeah. I mean, the first thing, you know, the little stone, you know, that creates the avalanche, you know, can be a thought, it can be a feeling, you know, it can be a memory, yeah. And then it prolongs, you know, it proliferates, until it becomes so strong that we can't handle it anymore. And that's what is called an emotion. Yeah? If we have these kinds of emotion, you know, quite often we can actually go into a depression. Yeah? If the same kind of emotions constantly come up, you know, I mean, we land in a depression. But the important thing is, when we are practicing, we know that we can stop anything at any time. We just need to focus, yeah. Whenever, you know, whenever the avalanche is coming, whenever it is strong, we stop. Yeah? We're taking the fuel out of the fire. Yeah? And that is, yeah, we stop it, you know, with Buddha, with a mental recitation of Buddha, 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 Buddha. And then this fire stops, or the avalanche stops, yeah, or we are actually getting also out of a depression. But we have to continue. We have to continue to make the mind calm, and when the mind is calm, when there are no thoughts, and when there are no memories coming up, yeah, I mean, we are at peace, yeah. We are neither in a depression, there's no emotion, there's nothing, yeah, there's just this, whatever we experience, you know, maybe a happy feeling, maybe a peaceful feeling, maybe just a stillness, or whatever, yeah. This is very important for us to know, yeah. We have the ability as practitioners, yeah, if we learn, you know, how to do samadhi, to stop anything that arises, yeah, any kind of emotion, we can stop it instantly. Yeah? We just need to repeat Buddha, huh? Or, you know, we need to put our attention back to the breath and replace any thought or any memory that comes in the mind with the attention on the breath, or, you know, with the repetition of the Buddha. Think about it, remember it, yeah? Remember it well, because these thoughts are not our thoughts. We believe these thoughts are our thoughts. We believe these memories are our memories. But they are not. Huh? They are hanging around just like the clouds in the sky, hanging around. Yeah? And if it's a black black cloud, you know, we are depressed, you know, if it's a white cloud, you know, we are happy, you know, if we see the sun shining, you know, we are more happy, yeah? Huh? That are the things, yeah? That are the memories that come come in front of our eyes, yeah? You can see them as a movie, yeah? I mean, this feeling arises and ceases, you know, then this thought arises and ceases, and this memory arises and ceases. We can see that, yeah? As a movie. And whenever you went, you know, in your lay life to see a movie, you know you are not the things. You are not the characters within the movie. But what do? When we watch a movie, be associated or be attached to this character or that character, and we feel with this character or that character. We are frightened by the things that are displayed in the movie. Do you understand that? It is very important to understand that, yeah? The movie, yeah? The movie is not us, yeah? The feelings that arise are not us, not me, not mine, not myself, yeah? we can distance ourselves. There's a subject, you know, it is me or the knowingness, yeah? And there's the object, that there's the feeling, yeah? That the feeling just arises, yeah? So instead of saying, it's I feel like this, or it is my feeling, yeah? We say, there's a feeling, yeah? Think about it. There's a feeling. When we say, it's my feeling, yeah? Then, you know, I mean, when we go back in the lay life, you know, some people call or tell us, yeah, you hurt my feeling. How can I hurt a feeling? Huh? It's impossible. A feeling is some creation, it's a phenomena. I cannot hurt the feeling. I can only hurt, yeah? If I want to, I can hurt a person by saying something, yeah? Attacking their view of their self. That's how I can hurt a person. And the view of the self is our objective to get rid of the view of self. Yeah? The Lord Buddha said, yeah, it is easier as a single person to fight a whole army than to fight one self. Yeah? Because what are we doing? Whatever we think. What are we doing? Yeah? What are we thinking? Whatever we are. Yeah? So, if we have a certain view of ourselves, yeah? So somebody attacks it. Yeah? Somebody attacks the view of ourselves. Yeah? Instead of, yeah, being happy about that somebody showed us, you know, our self-view, yeah? That might be correct or might be incorrect, yeah? But normally, if we can attack it, if he is hurt, you know, it's incorrect, yeah? He has a wrong view of his self. Yeah? That's why he's hurt. Yeah? He sees something, you know, that he doesn't want to see, you know, that he wants to plaster up. Yeah? And that's what we normally do. Yeah? Somebody attacks us, says, you know, you are like this, you are like this, you know, and we plaster it up and said, no, I'm not like this, or no, I'm not like that, and we constantly defend ourselves. Yeah? It is interesting. Yeah? It is important, you know, that we understand that, yeah? That these things that we see is like a movie. We are in the movie, you know. We couldn't call it the movie of this life, yeah. Huh? The last life, you know, was a different kind of movie. Maybe this one is a more horror movie, or it might be a more peaceful movie, or, you know, a might be a romantic movie, whatever it is not us, yeah. It is not, you know, me, yeah, that, yeah. It's me that sees this movie, yeah, but we are not, yeah. And the moment we attach to it, attach to any of the character or attach to any of these happening, I mean, we suffer, yeah? We have dukkha, yeah? When we see somebody doing something horrific to another person, you know, we suffer, yeah? We feel something, yeah? Don't we, yeah? Because we attach to it, yeah? We cannot watch a movie, you know, without being attached to these things, yeah? Because they are so close to us, yeah? And that's the same thing, you know, with the feelings, with whatever arises within our sphere of senses, yeah? I mean, we are attached to it. And that's why we are constantly in trouble, yeah? We don't know, you know, actually what is happening, yeah? Going back a few days ago, you know, I saw something, you know, I listened to something interesting, a speech of, what is it, Rowan Atkinson, yeah? I mean, about free speech. Because now they want to put hate speech under, you know, it's a criminal offense, you know, and now insult is a criminal offense, you can't be prosecuted, you know, if you insult another person or if you use hate speech, yeah? So he was talking about it, yeah? So what is the antidote, yeah, of, you know, of insult? Very interesting. He said, more speech. He didn't say, you know, cut down the speech, you know, censor the speech, yeah? He said, more speech. And why does he say it? He compared it, and that's why I found it very interesting. He compared you to us, you know, being born, and attacked by viruses. Over the time we learn to deal with the viruses, you know, and nothing happens anymore, yeah? We are immune to the viruses, you know, that constantly attack us, yeah? I mean, every moment, you know, we inhale so many viruses, you know, but, you know, the body can deal with it, yeah? So that is, you know, and I found that very interesting, yeah? That he compared, you know, the insults or hate speech with viruses, you know, that, you know, the more we hear it, you know, the better we can deal with it, yeah? I mean, Lungta Mahabua actually said, you know, whatever somebody says, you know, I mean, it's just air. Yeah, air running through. Yeah. I mean, going into one ear, you know, going out to the other ear. But when, yeah, just like the same thing when in the movie, the moment we attach to this, yeah, and think it is, yeah, it is me, it is mine, it is, oh, you know, I mean, it is, yeah, it's attacking me, then we are in big difficulties. So the thing is, yeah, to be aware of this, yeah, whenever we practice, whenever we think, yeah, whenever we think about the future or the past, you know, look at the memories, yeah, look at the thoughts, you know, that creates this past or that, you know, brings up this memory, yeah, because within a memory, within a good memory, there's a bad memory. At the same time, I did it myself, you know, I mean, whenever we had a very nice occasion, you know, I mean, I looked very closely and I saw, you know, there was a ring around it, you know, that was not good, yeah? And the same thing, you know, when I looked at a bad memory, there was something around it that was good, yeah? So there's always something good and there's always something bad. It is us who choose, you know, if it is bad or if it is good. We have to be aware of that. That we pick sides. And if we pick sides, we are in trouble. Now, the important thing, yeah? I don't want to make it a long talk. I mean, I just want to stress this point, so, yeah? To stress this point for our practice, yeah? I mean, to getting into samadhi is very important. Yeah? Some of us cannot get into samadhi because they can't let go of their thoughts and memories. Yeah? Because what is there if there are no thoughts and memories? There's no self. Yeah? And we are afraid to lose our self. Yeah? But when we go into samadhi, yeah, losing ourselves shows us, yeah, or gives us an inkling of the reality of the pure experience. Yeah? There's just the pure experience, the present moment. There's no future. There's no past. There's no fear. It is amazing. There's no fear. There's no worries. Yeah, we are just there in a state of mind, you know, where we are in the present moment. Yeah. I mean, be it happy, be it still, be it peaceful, whatever you call it, yeah? But, you know, yeah, there is no future, there is no past, there are no worries, yeah? And there is no fear. But in order to get into the state, we have to let go of the self that we think we are, yeah? Some things arise in the samadhi, you know, that we normally are not aware of, yeah? That is called, one of that is called sati, the knowingness, yeah? Because we are much more aware of the knowingness when we go into samadhi than we are now. Huh? What we are now aware of is, you know, mindfulness. We are mindful of one thing. Yeah? Our mind is full of one thing. Yeah? When we go into samadhi, our mind is empty. Yeah? So there's nothing, there's no occupation for that moment. Things are just happening, but nobody tells us what is happening. Yeah? So that is an important point. Yeah? And yeah, some people talk about faith. What is faith? Where does faith arrive? Yeah? Does faith arrive in our thoughts? Yeah? I mean, or respect, yeah? Where does the respect come from? It comes from our heart, yeah? But if we don't have access to our heart, we cannot feel the faith. We cannot we cannot see it, you know. The fate is made up by thought, imaginations, you know, and memories, yeah. But if we go into our heart, you know, there is fate. Yeah, completely there. Just like there is care, you know, there is loving kindness, you know, or metta. It is all there, yeah. I mean, we just cover it up with our thoughts and memories, yeah. That's why we can't feel it, yeah. I remember the moment, you know, I came to Lungta Mahabor, yeah. I mean, I had complete faith. But, you know, at the same time, my heart was completely open. Yeah? So I could feel the faith, yeah. 100% faith, yeah. I mean, I saw him, I said 100% faith, yeah. And after 2 years, he kicked me out, yeah. And I didn't understand, why did he kick me out, yeah. It took me weeks, you know, to understand, yeah. And then, do you think, you know, in the time my faith decreased because he kicked me out? No, yeah. After that, actually, you know, I saw what he was trying to do. There was still, you know, quite a lot of conceit within me. And with this kicking me out of the monastery, you know, he destroyed that conceit that was within me. So after that, after seeing that, yeah, I mean, I not only had 100% faith in him, I had 1000% faith in him. Yeah? Because at the moment, at the time, you know, where he kicked me out, I could not understand it. Yeah? But through my reflection, through my investigation, you know, I saw the point that he was pointing at me. Yeah? So, I mean, I got rid, you know, of a large portion of my conceit. Yeah? And then, you know, I mean, it was much easier for me to accept his teaching. Yeah? But the faith comes from the heart. It doesn't come through our thoughts and it doesn't come through our memory. Yeah? It is a feeling that comes from the heart, yeah. But if we block our heart constantly with our thoughts and memories, you know, I mean, we can't feel these things. The same thing, we can't feel the pure metta, yeah. Because metta is with all beings, it's with all kinds, you know, of people, yeah. It's with bad people, with good people, you know, I mean, we have metta for them, yeah. It is with animals, you know, we have metta for them, yeah. We don't wish them any harm, yeah. We wish them well-being, yeah. That is what is metta, yeah? You can even have metta, you know, with the person who wants to murder you, yeah? It's fine, yeah? It's his choice, you know, I mean, you know what is going to happen to him, yeah? It is not very nice what is going to happen to him, he probably goes to hell for a long time. But, yeah, you still have, yeah? You still have metta. We don't have metta, we don't have faith, or we don't have respect for a person, for the act, yeah, that a person does. We have faith, respect for the person itself. Yeah. It doesn't mean that we have to acknowledge, you know, what he's doing is great, yeah. If we see it, you know, it's bad, you know, but we still can respect this person. Now, there's no problem. And we still can have a lot of metta for this person. Because actually we see when we have gone through, you know, the hatred, you know, that produces, you know, wanting to kill the things around him, you know, that he doesn't like, yeah? We can understand through what kind of dukkha he goes, yeah? So we can have metta, yeah? These are all the things, yeah? I mean, remember this, you know? I mean, use it, yeah? I mean, that's why we are here. We are here in an environment where we can practice this thing, yeah? Where we sit down, you know, when a thought comes, you know, yeah? We can say, you know, I mean, whatever, there is a thought, yeah? I mean, the thought has arisen and ceases. It's not my thought, yeah? It's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me. I mean, we can use these principles of the Lord Buddha. I mean, he has seen it. He has fought himself, you know, and got rid of his self, yeah. And it is only the self that is hurt by our, you know, by the language, yeah. I mean, nowadays, I mean, it's so crazy, you know. I mean, before you say to somebody it's a pig, you know, but now you can be sued, you know, you can be caught, yeah. You can be sued in court, you know, for this, you know, insulting somebody, yeah. Oh, you're not now in California, I mean, you misgender somebody and he sues you, no? Oh, you hurt myself, yeah? No, I'm not a woman, I'm a man, yeah? Huh? So you addressed me wrongly, you know, you hurt my feelings, yeah? I mean, it's so crazy what is going on, yeah? And it has all to do with our view of self, yeah? The moment, you know, we see it, you know, we let it go. You know, I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, yeah. I mean, and we keep on, you know, concentrating on that, what is there, yeah. What is there? Okay, there's a feeling. What is there? There's a thought. What is there? There's a memory, yeah. The memory, huh? And who knows that there's a feeling? Who knows that there's a memory? Who knows that there's a body? Yeah? Let's go to this, yeah? Let's go to the knowingness. And that's actually what we're doing in samadhi. The first stage of samadhi is upachara samadhi, you know, where we still experience the things, yeah? But we don't think, and we don't memorize, and we don't associate with it. The next stage of samadhi is the apana samadhi, where everything, where all these three world systems disappear. Yeah, and what is left is the knowingness. But this is the pure knowingness, the knowingness that doesn't have any objects that it knows of. Yeah, before, you know, before we, the knowingness knows of object. Yeah, so subject and object. Yeah, and we know, you know, I mean, it is logical clear that, you know, subject and object cannot be one and the same thing. Or has anybody any doubts about this? Yeah? Who says, you know, I'm this tree? Yeah, because I see a tree and then say, I'm this tree? Yeah, or I'm this cloud? Or I'm the rain? Or I'm the sunshine? Nobody. Yeah, or I'm the person sitting right next to me? No. But the moment we look at our hand, you know, we look at our arm, we say, it's me. Huh? When we look at our feeling, when we see our feeling, we say, it's my feeling. Yeah? Don't hurt my feeling. I cannot hurt your feeling. Huh? I can hurt your view of self. Yeah, I can point some things out that are not straight. Yeah, and it can be hurtful. Yeah, I mean, when Lukta Mahaboy, you know, I mean, scolded me or kicked me out. You know, of course it was hurtful. Yeah, but I took the opportunity to learn from it, to see what kind of view, you know, what kind of self view he has. Yeah, I mean, he has pointed at. Yeah. He has pushed a button, yeah? Or you can say he pushed the check in the box, and the check in the box came out, and then you cut off his head, and then there will be never a check in the box coming out, yeah? Or you can use another simile, you know, I mean, all these thorns that are sticking in your skin, you know, whenever somebody presses it, it hurts, yeah? And of course, the removal of the thorn, you know, I mean, also hurts, yeah? But once the thorn is removed, you know, he can press at this place, you know, whatever he likes, you know, and nothing hurts, yeah? And that is the same thing with our view of ourself, yeah? What we want to do, what we want to achieve, yeah? No, we are here, yeah? I mean, when you come here to this place, we are here, you know, to really get into into sila, samadhi, panya, to find a way out of dukkha. To find the way, you know, to nibbana or whatever you call it, yeah? And that is done through sila, samadhi and panya. And panya is investigation. Investigation, when we see something, you know, something hurts us, what is actually hurt, yeah? When I say something and sometimes I say something, you know, that might hurt you, yeah? Then look at it, you know, what target did I aim at? Yeah. What did I hit? Yeah. And then look at this point, and then remove this point, or remove this thorn, or whatever you call it. Remove this button, or remove the check in the box, and then you're free. Yeah. That's the whole point of why I point out things. Yeah. When I see something that is not correct, I point it out. Yeah. But if you have the self view that I'm perfect or that I didn't do anything wrong, yeah. Then you have to correct this view. Yeah? That's why I'm scolding or why I point out things. Yeah? For you to see, you know, where things are going wrong. Yeah? You understand? Huh? Is it understood?
I would normally have the opposite view. Not that I didn't do anything wrong, but I would overdo it, like I'm a bad person, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, then you have to change it, yeah? I mean, if you have the view that you're a bad person, I mean, I never like, me myself, I never like compliments because I thought I wasn't good, yeah? I wasn't good enough. But, yeah, I mean, so you have to remove the view that you're a bad person, yeah? I mean, we are born, both, yeah? Every human being, the worst kind of human being. Huh? Think about Madame Albright, you know, who said, you know, I mean, killing 500 Iraqi children is worthwhile, you know, the goal that they had in mind. Yeah, this is a really bad person. Yeah. But she's still, you know, she's still, there's still something good within her. And then you have to look for the good within you, yeah? Or remove all of it. Remove the thing that you're bad, remove the thing that you're good, so that you have no view about yourself, you know, and there's just the things happening. Yeah? I mean, what is it, yeah? When we have a view, yeah? let's think about, you know, strong wind, yeah? He encounters, you know, the strong wind, it encounters, you know, a big mountain, yeah? What does the strong wind do? I mean, he goes over the top or goes around the side. But if the strong wind has a, you know, self-view, he says, this mountain is in my way. I need to get rid of it. Huh? And so is it with us, yeah? I mean, when something happens, yeah, we just, you know, we just look for the best thing, you know, to do. Yeah, we don't think ahead, you know, 5 days ahead or 10 days ahead or 1 month ahead or 1 year ahead, you know, what we are going to do. Because this is not the point. Yeah, the point is dealing with the things that are happening inside. So when the wind, you know, sees this mountain, you know, he goes over the top and goes around. Yeah, so that is a clear thing. Yeah, no, you understand? You get the idea, yeah. The moment the wind thinks of itself, you know, as a thing or of a self, yeah, then of course, you know, he thinks this mountain is in my way, yeah. So I need to get rid of the mountain, yeah. Just like we think, you know, this bad thing that happens to me is in my way, I need to get rid of it, yeah. Instead of looking, you know, how we can get around, or how can we get over it, or even under it, you know, sometimes, you know, when there's a, you know, cave, yeah? Get a little bit, yeah? If we have a very bad view of ourselves, we have to tell ourselves, yeah? I mean, what did I say? Michi Sunanda, you know, I'm the biggest happiness to myself, you know, who doesn't love me, then, you know, it's his problem, ja. Ich bin mir das größte Glück, ne? Wer mich nicht liebt, ist selbst von schuld, ne? Yeah. So, I mean, we have to bring up the good things within ourselves, ja. The bad things, you know, I mean, we know, if we can accept them, but if we don't, you know, then even if there are some bad things within us, yeah, but, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be here if there are some bad things in you. You couldn't be here, yeah? So bring up the good things, or leave it all out, you know, and just be in the present moment, yeah? Say not, you know, I mean, whenever you think, yeah, I mean, say, you know, there's a thought, you know, it's a thought, you know, it has no reality, you know. It's just like, you know, it's just like a wind that arises and ceases, or a cloud that arises and ceases. When it passes by, you know, what is coming, yeah? Let it, you know, pull yourself back, you know, just like in a movie, you know, pull yourself back in the seat, you know, eat some popcorn, you know, and watch a movie, yeah? Watch a movie of thoughts and memories passing by. Okay? Yeah? Use these principles. They are our lifelines, especially if you want to stay, you know, in a monastery or if you want to become monks. Yeah? I mean, these things are our lifeline. Yeah? It is very different when we are outside. Yeah? Most of the people, you know, especially what I said today, you know, people will not be able, you know, to appreciate it, yeah? Because they think, you know, they think of themselves as this person, as this engineer, or this, you know, this businessman, or that, yeah? They cannot let go of their self, you know? So, yeah? But we are here, yeah? And remember what the Lord Buddha said. It is easier as a single person to fight a whole army, huh? An army, yeah? 4,000 maybe at that time it was 4,000 or 10,000 men, you know, than to fight oneself, yeah? And how do we fight oneself? Yeah? I mean, we have to give ourselves, you know, we have to give ourselves or subdue ourselves to another person, to a teacher, yeah, that knows the way, yeah, and we trust, yeah, We do trust that he knows the way, and we trust him that he leads us in the right direction. Okay? Yeah? Questions? Just a few, yeah? Oh, I know the answer. Puto, puto, puto. That's the answer to all the questions.
Are experienced meditators able to see their past lives at any stage of their practice?
Not everybody. Some of them might. Yeah. It is. Some of them, you know, might not be even practitioners who see their past lives. You know, it depends on, you know, what kind of practice we have done in our previous lives, if we can see our previous lives. But what, you know, what an experienced practitioner, you know, sometimes sees is glimpses of past lives. Yeah, not the whole past life. Yeah, but you know, I'm sure that there is a training how you can see it. You know. But I'm not really interested because, I mean, I know, you know, whatever I experience is the result of my previous life. So, I mean, why should I be interested in what I did in this previous life? I just need to look at the results of this life and then know what I have done in the previous life, yeah? Because whatever comes back to me is what I have done unto others, yeah? Okay, next.
I got an issue. I try often to do as you told, to have this determination, this one path I'll stay with my object while walking meditation. Mm. But often I got a lot of tension and thinking going on because of it. To diminish that thinking or the tension, to think about each time I arrive at the end of the path, I try having this determination every time I think about it and to stay focused on the object at the moment as well. When I stay focused for the whole path, I don't take this determination for the next path. I just stick with the first determination. But sometimes, even doing this, I find it brings me much tension, so I don't do it. I think sometimes when I do it, it helps me, but I'm not sure. What do you think?
It's wrong kind of determination he has. I mean, he forces himself. Yeah? Determination is, just let me stay on my Buddha or on my breath for this one path. The moment you force it, then of course, you know, it breaks apart. Whenever we force something, you know, it starts to break, yeah? So, and that's where the tensions come. It's the same thing, you know, when you try to force the Buddha or when you try to force your attention on the breath, I mean, you become headache, yeah? Most of the time, you get a headache, yeah? And then you know something is wrong. I mean, as I said, you know, meditation, no matter if we do walking meditation or sitting meditation, as long as we are with the Buddha, it is fine. It is riding a horse. Go with it, yeah? Go with the way, you know, the horse walks, yeah? Or go with the walk of the horse, yeah? If you see the horse strays away, then you pull it back. Only then you need a little bit of force. And the force is when the mind goes out into thinking, then we have to really force it to come back. But the moment the mind is back on the Buddha, fine, let it run. Huh? Okay.
The next question. I read a book on Buddhadasa Bhikkhu who rejected the idea of rebirth, claiming it wasn't a Buddhist teaching because there is a non-self to be reborn. I have also read books on teaching at Han's views that a Buddhist rebirth is simply more a rebirth on those who we leave behind in this life rather than after death. So my question is, without being disrespectful, is there a rebirth or...
I mean, whatever people understand about rebirth, yeah? What is happening, yeah? Is the karma, you can see the rebirth day by day, you know? I mean, every morning you wake up, you know, you still have the old thoughts from yesterday and old memories, but there's something, also something new, yeah? What goes into the next life is the karma, it's not a person. And that's what most of the people don't understand. The karma creates then a body, yeah? Be it a ghost body, be it a heavenly body, be it a human body, yeah? Or an animal body, and within this body, you know, it goes on, you're creating more and more and more karma, yeah? And in order to get rid of this, yeah? Is, you know, I mean, is the Four Noble Truths, yeah? Sila, Samadhi, Panya, yeah? And then you can see it. Yeah? I mean, Buddha Dasa, he was, you know, he was scolded by all major, you know, Buddhist monks here in Thailand for teaching the wrong thing. Yeah? I said, I mean, how can somebody say there is no rebirth, that the rebirth happens in every breath, you know, or whatever he taught. Yeah. So, yeah.
Sind sich die Wesen auf den höheren Existenzebenen der Wahrheit von Kamma und von Anicca gewahr?
Dann müsste ich sie fragen. I'm sure that some of them are. Ich bin mir sicher, dass da einige sicher darüber sich im Klaren sind. Vor allem, wenn sie zur Zeit des erhabenen Buddhas, ne, dem erhabenen Buddha gelauscht haben. Ne? Aber andere sind halt, ne, die enjoy their life. Yeah. Was ist das auf Deutsch, enjoy their life? Ne?
Genießen das Leben.
Ja?
Okay. Und nächste Frage ist ähnlich. Können Sie sich an Ihre vergangenen Geburten erinnern und verstehen Sie, wie Sie zu diesen höheren Existenzen gelangten?
Zu diesen höheren Existenzen?
Ja, wieso, dass Sie da oben sind? Nicht
wieso? Ich bin noch nicht da oben. Ich bin hier
oben. Nicht Sie, diese Wesen.
Ach, wie? Ja, natürlich, ich verstehe und ich erkläre das vor allem immer wieder den Thais, ne, was zu einer Deva-Geburt oder höheren Wesen-Geburt führt. Ne. Es ist, ne, Einhaltung der Tugendregeln. Ne. Das nächste ist Großzügigkeit, aber genug Großzügigkeit. Und das dritte ist Respekt, Achtung vor anderen Wesen. Ne. Und das vierte, Dankbarkeit. Ohne die komme ich gar nicht in die höheren Ebenen rein. Wenn ich die nicht habe, wenn ich nur großzügig bin, komme ich nicht in den Deva-Bereich. Wenn ich nicht die fünf Tugendregeln einhalte, komme ich weder auf den menschlichen Bereich noch in den höheren Bereich. Also ich muss das alles, ne? Ich muss die fünf Tugendregeln einhalten, ne? Ich muss großzügig sein, ich muss Respekt und Achtung haben und ich muss Dankbarkeit haben. Dann komme ich hoch. Ob ich mich erinnern kann, ich habe vorhin gesagt, ne, ab und zu kommen mal Klimse auch von meinem früheren Leben, aber mich interessiert das nicht. Ich sehe das durch die Resultate, die ich jetzt in diesem Leben erfahre, weiß ich, was ich in früheren Leben gemacht habe. Warum muss ich da nochmal durch das ganze Dukkha der früheren Leben durchgehen?
Gibt es eine Auflistung in den Suttas, die genau beschreibt, welche Handlungen zu welchen Ergebnissen führen? Und wenn ja, wo kann man die finden?
Er soll da in der mittleren Sammlung, ich glaube zwischen 148, in der mittleren Sammlung 148, 149, 150. Ne? Es gibt dann auch noch eine, aber da kann ich mich nicht erinnern, in der mittleren Sammlung über Kamma, ne, was zu Kamma führt. Ne? Kannst du dich erinnern?
Es gibt ja auch noch die Merkmale des Buddha, wo er ja auch erklärt, was er gewirkt hat. Die Merkmale, die körperlichen Merkmale, die erklärt er auch.
Ach so. Also es gibt, er muss da in den Suttas ein bisschen suchen. Heutzutage ist es viel einfacher. Ne? Du kannst es im Internet suchen. Ne? Ne? Aber sei so lieb und nimm nicht die deutschen Übersetzungen, die sind meistens falsch. Suche im Englischen. Ja,
next. I both practice Anapanasati and Buddha meditation as you advise me, but I'm wondering what to do. I always practice the meditation that I feel more inclined to practice, and most of the time it's Buddha.
Yeah?
Except when I'm sitting, I would sometimes go for Anapanasati. Yeah. The issue I get is that with Buddha, I would often want to pronounce it out loud when I'm walking or concentrate with the sound of the beating of my heart. Also, each time I practice Anapanasati, I'm more concentrated than with Buddha, and with Anapana, I have no issue of controlling the breath or anything. Also, I tried mixing the two, but when I do it, I end up frustrated and less concentrated. I was wondering, what was your advice about this situation? Should I only practice Anapanasati or continue practicing as I do, or something else?
No, I mean, practice mostly Anapanasati, yeah? When the mind is very restless, yeah, then he can practice putta, you know, for maybe 10 or 15 minutes until the mind comes down, yeah? And then he should go to Anapanasati. Yeah? I mean, he seems to have a problem with putta, so I mean, and with Anapanasati, you know, I mean, it seems to be okay, yeah? So only if he is completely, you know, he's completely restless, then he should, you know, focus, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes until he gets calm and putta, 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 yeah, quite fast, yeah. And then once he's get calm, you know, go into Anapanasati.
To what extent can we understand pain and not suffer from it for a person without samadhi? For example, can we sit for 4 hours with normal mind, like without samadhi, and not suffer from pain?
Well, it's your choice. It's your choice if you suffer from pain. Yeah. I mean, the moment you're attached to the pain, yeah, you want to go it away. No, then you will suffer. Yeah. If you see there's pain, you know, and then investigate the pain. Yeah. I mean, without samadhi, you can still investigate the pain. Yeah. Well, pain is a very interesting thing. Yeah. I mean, just ask the thing: what is pain? Yeah. Where is this pain? Why is the pain gone when I'm getting up? Yeah? I mean, these are simple questions, you know. You don't have to have samadhi, you know, for this, you know, to be able to investigate it, yeah?
In regards to the last question and Arjun Martin's answer, I did as instructed and took a look in my heart. I saw the craving, the kama, and it frightened me, and I also felt embarrassed by it. It seems unsurmountable. I also didn't want to look too long into fear. It would overcome me, so I stopped the meditation at this point. I'm unsure of how to deal with this. Mm. It's evident I have been distracting myself from it for many years.
What?
It's evident that I have been distracting myself from it for many years.
Yeah.
And it seems associated to several physical pains I have been experiencing. It is best to acknowledge it, after which to then not give it... is it best to acknowledge it, after which then not to give it any more attention? How can it be overcome without becoming overwhelmed and falling prey to it? This seems a difficult task, and I'm unsure if investigating it further is the correct thing to do.
What do I say normally? You know, the first thing is we accept pain. We accept these things. Of course, you know, the first time, you know, you look into your heart, you know, I mean, you can be extremely frightened, yeah? Because there's everything there, yeah? I mean, things, you know, bad things, you know. It is like, when we look, the first time we look in the heart, you know, it is like, you know, making the first layer of subconsciousness becoming conscious, yeah? And then, yeah, once we remove the first layer, we see the next layer. And the deeper we go, you know, I mean, we see all these things, yeah? And we remove them layer by layer by layer, yeah? I also say, before you be overcome by fear or by pain, stop it. Do buddha, 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 you know, stop it, get up, you know, and walk for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, and then sit back, you know. Don't have it. But, when you stop it, When you see you are overwhelmed by fear or overwhelmed by pain, raise the white flag. Know that you're defeated. Tell yourself, yes, the kilesas have defeated me. And the next time, I try to stay just a little bit long, maybe a minute, maybe half a minute, maybe, you know, 10 seconds longer. And each time you have this determination, you will be able to go a little bit further and a little bit further until, you know, sooner or later, I mean, you can overcome. I mean, actually, I mean, I talk, you know, I gave quite a few talks about this, you know, how to do this. Yeah? That's it? Okay. If there are no more, are there any questions? Yeah? No, I don't see any questions, so, okay, go back and practice. It is nice and cool now. So we can do a walking meditation, yeah? Or we can do sitting meditation. I mean, you, Xiaoling, you know, she has a veranda, you can do some walking meditation even in the rain.